Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You're saying you're serving me, but you're actually a little rebel and you're not representing me right at all because you're giving yourself your own promotion here. I think maybe some of you find the same thing true in your life. You'd be a much better servant of the Lord if you didn't have to serve people. But that's just not the way it works. It's about people. We serve under the authority of people. And in that context, we serve the Lord right there where we are. Under that authority.
Some of us approach our Christian walk with an isolationist point of view. We see our relationship with God as something that's just between us and God. As Pastor Troy continues to lead us through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we're reminded that we are part of something bigger than just a one-on-one romance between us and Jesus. As personal and intimate as that relationship is, we are a part of the church. As we serve God, we are also called to serve those around us. Now here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 through 9. Relationships are what make up our lives, really. The way we deal with people, the way we deal with them when we are assertive and proactive in dealing with them, or the way we respond to them. In fact, more often, who we are is defined or seen is the accumulation of how we respond to life, to people, to others. How we respond, react, defines who we are. And we have lots of relationships. We've been talking about those relationships over the past couple of weeks. We can be good people, good Christians, as long as there are no other people around us. We can be perfect and happy and joyful. Every song is the one we want. Every ministry is the way we want it. It's perfect in our own eyes. Unfortunately, walking with the Lord and serving Him is about dealing with people and ministering to people and responding to people. No people, no ministry. And so here we find ourselves walking in relationships. We were talking about husbands and wives, children and parents. And today, for our terms, we might say employers, employees, those in authority and those who are yielded to that authority. Serving the Lord is the bottom line. We can have a couple of different attitudes towards anything that we do, any activity that we participate in, or anything that we take up and decide that we're going to do. We can have the attitude that this is about us and for us, or that this is for others. I want the best for them. I want them to have something. For example, use the children's ministry. We can go into it for ourselves. Yes, it doesn't seem like we could do that, but we can actually go into things for ourselves. We could go into it because it fulfills me. I want to feel like I'm important. I want to feel like I know more than the people I teach. And so, give me the youngest group. So we can go in it for us. It's got to be our way. When it's for us, it's our way. It's our way or the highway. Our way or we get upset because it's about us. It could be a stepping stone for me. All right, I'll get involved in this, but really this is all about me. And so if this doesn't pan out and get me to where I need to be and where I want to be, I'm going to get upset or I'm going to get frustrated. So we can be in things for us, or we can have the other attitude, which is to be in it for others. taking the children's ministry still, we could say, I want, in my heart, I want the best for the kids. Now, I may not be the best, but if they have nothing, I'd rather them have me giving all of my heart than nothing. I want them to have something. I have a heart for them. And in that case, then it's not about us. We don't get upset when we're not the center or we're not the one. Or we could have the heart for the teachers. It may not necessarily be the kids, but man, I see the teachers, and that's maybe a gift of help. Somebody says, I just want to help. And so I want to participate because I see the need for help. And that's in it for others, helping the teachers or the one coordinating the ministry. But I hope our greatest desire is because we just want the kingdom of God built. And if God stirs in my heart, I just want to do whatever he puts in my hands to do, and I want to do it well. That's the attitude of someone who serves for others. So we can have the same task, same job, same ministry, and we can have two different attitudes toward it, two different perspectives as we approach it. And it's this attitude toward our work or our service that is being addressed today. In Ephesians, we're in the midst of learning to walk. Remember, all of the blessings, all of the riches that we have, here's what you have. Bask in this. Enjoy this. Find your fulfillment in this. Now, with all of this abundance, here's how I want you to spend it. And he talks about the walk. Here's how we're to walk. I don't have enough grace or strength for that. That's why I gave you a bunch of it. See, you can do it now because it's mine. I'm going to pour it out on you and pour it out through you so you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So we have everything that we need. God directs us and we submit ourselves with the gifts and the abilities and the opportunities, whatever it is that God has given us. And we give it over to the Lord and we learn to walk and walk in relationships as well, because it's in doing those things that we run across people. Not over them. We don't run over them. We run into them. We meet them. We work with them. We have to get along with them. We have to understand our boundaries and what will make things more successful, whether that's in the church or in the workplace. And it's God who gives ultimate authority anyway and puts us in the places and lifts us up. So today we continue to learn about walking in relationships, that whatever we do, everything that we do is ministry to others and should be understood as serving the Lord, everything that we do. Because ultimately, we are serving the Lord. That's what we discover. And verse 5 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." So the first thing, let's talk about this idea of serving the Lord and the relationships that result from that, is serving the Lord under authority. Serving the Lord under authority. I would have no problem myself serving the Lord if I didn't have to be under any person. Serve the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. In fact, we all like to give ourselves a promotion out from underneath other people by elevating ourselves to, I serve the Lord, not you. Not you. You don't tell me what to do. I serve the Lord. And so we like to promote ourselves that way. Like, I'm the Lord's servant. And really what the Lord often does is says, yes, and to serve me, I've placed you under that authority and you're not doing a very good job. I know you're saying you're serving me, but you're actually a little rebel and you're not representing me right at all because you're giving yourself your own promotion here. I think maybe some of you find the same thing true in your life. You'd be a much better servant of the Lord if you didn't have to serve people. But that's just not the way it works. It's about people. We serve under the authority of people. And in that context, we serve the Lord right there where we are, under that authority. Now, notice that Paul doesn't address slavery. He doesn't address it and say, this is wrong. It's a wrong agenda. We need to rebel against it. Now that you're a Christian, you see things the right way. Go against it. No, because that's not what he's dealing with. He's not dealing with the government. He's dealing with a person's heart. if the people's hearts get right, then everything else changes in the economy and in the government and all of that. But the Lord has a way of dealing with a person in their situation where they are. He deals with their heart right there. Slavery was a normal way of life at the time that this was written. It was common. And it was for various reasons. The Romans saw labor as menial and beneath them. And so slaves were abundant all over the place. And they were just seen, for the most part, as workers who would earn a very low wage and then serve the Lord in a sense where they do get paid, but they're housekeepers or whatever it might be for others. But there were also many who were poor, and so they were enslaved because they didn't have a means to have anything or possess anything, so they lived in the home of someone else and just lived off of them and served them. Then there were captives, those who had been captured and brought in as slaves to serve in the homes of maybe dignitaries or others who were privileged. So it was all over the place. It was a normal way of life. In Israel, even, among the Israelites, people would indebt themselves. They would get into debt, not be able to pay off their debt. And so God's way of paying off the debt was you serve them. You serve them. You work for them to pay off your debt. And so there were individuals who were serving in that capacity in order to pay off their debts. And that was rightly so. It's estimated that nearly half the Roman Empire were slaves. So Paul's speaking to a very, very large audience here when he addresses them. And as he addresses them, when they come to Christ, he didn't teach them to rebel. Even if the authority over them was harsh, instead he taught them how to respond in a Christ-like manner in the situation they found themselves in. He dealt with the heart of the person where they were at, to learn to follow Christ in their circumstances. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24 that Paul wrote this. Let each one remain in the same calling or circumstance or business in which he was called.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. The idea is this. If you're a slave, then work hard, but remember, now you serve the Lord. So you honor, you respect, you build up, you serve. But remember, you're serving someone greater than that person. When you do it, your reward's in heaven. You're serving the Lord. Even though you're still in that place serving a person, you now serve someone much higher than that. And he's sovereign and he's in control. Now, I said, if you can be made free, you know, maybe you're a rebellious person and, you know, that's why you have so much conflict. If you can do things right and serving and doing things the right way, you can be made free, then go for it. Do that. But then he talks to people who are free. He says, but you know what? If you're free, you're still the Lord's slave. You're a servant. You're not your own. You're a slave of the Lord anyway. Whether you work in this company under this guy or you're over here an employer with your own company, you're still a servant of the Lord. That's what you are. So get that into your mind, and then whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. The goal was to let people see you changed, or the change in you, in circumstances that were the same. It's easy to be different. Like, it's easy for me to be a grumbling, complaining, unsaved person. I have no money. I'm just mad at everybody. And then all of a sudden, I win the lottery or something. And this isn't the way it normally goes. Their lives become often a wreck and a mess. But let's just say all of a sudden, I'm a happy guy and giving and charitable. And like, wow, he's had a conversion from the Lord. No, not necessarily. I just may feel different now because I feel like, yeah, I can live life. I feel comfortable. I feel secure. The pressures of life are off of me, and I could be a little nicer now. So what the Lord's saying is, anyone can do that. What I want is when you're transformed, I want people to see you different in the same kinds of circumstances. The same tests where you failed and they said, wow, that person's horrible. That person's mean. That person doesn't respond the right way. I want them to see you in the same circumstances being totally different because I'm in your life, and then that makes a difference. That's the idea here. No, we don't have slaves, but we do have employees. We have volunteers. And those who are under authority. We probably find ourselves in at least one of those categories, under authority, over in authority, or both. The message is simply this: wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, work hard with all your heart as unto the Lord. Even if your boss or authority seems unfair. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. The reason that you would endure is because you trust God. You commit yourself to Him. And you go, Lord, man, this is not right. This is not fair. I'm not getting the promotions I deserve. I'm doing so much more than these, and it's unfair. He says, look. Don't go grumbling and complaining and fighting and scratching and clawing and doing all of that stuff. Rather, endure it as if your reward is in heaven, that you serve me, wink, wink. There are great things that I will bless you with. And besides that, my young servant, I'm doing things in your heart through all of this too. What we fail to remember is that not everything is about what I deserved and what I earned. It's about who I am. And there are things in our hearts and who we are that we don't see. And God says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to work on it. And it may not look pretty. And it may not seem fair. But I am going to do this work. You know, we like that scripture, He is faithful to complete the work in us. Well, we don't understand. That means He's going to be working. He's going to do what it takes. And that's the hard thing too. And if we don't endure the hard things, if we don't persevere through them, and we always quit, or we always stop, or we always say, I'm not in for this, then here's what happens. We never learn. And we find that when we re-engage with the Lord at some other time, we have to learn the same exact thing because He's relentless. It's the same thing that needs to be dealt with. And so it's better if you're already in it one third of the way or halfway. Finish. You're halfway through. Finish. Persevere. And know this. The only way we can do this is to know this, that God is doing a work that is good. He doesn't intend to harm or kill us or destroy us, but to cause us to become more like Christ. Now, this idea of even if you have an authority who is not nice or maybe harsh or who is unfair, enduring that as a servant of the Lord, that's radical. And that is certainly against the culture today, because they say, hey, stand up, fight for what you get. You go after it. You walk over people if you have to. That's the world's mindset. Get what you want out of life. No one's going to give it to you. I see it different. I see it different as a Christian. And I think I'm a testimony, not another testament. That's when you leave. A third testament of Christ. Let's get out of here. A testimony. And that is, I've not really pursued anything that I have. That would include my wife. I wasn't going after her, trying to find. In fact, when God brought her into my life, I was like, absolutely not. No way. She's not involved in worship. This. I have my standards, Lord, you know. And so I have the call of your call upon me, and she doesn't fit that. And so I actually resisted. I told somebody it would take, because they were asking about, well, Ophelia and her, she had a sister. And there were other girls when I was single in the church and I was leading worship. And so they were talking about that, and they brought up Ophelia and because of how quiet and shy and everything she was. And in my mind, and she was also like, she's so simple, I guess is a good way to put it. Simple in her life and in her thinking that she doesn't get cluttered by the confusion of the world. And that's intimidating. I thought, there's absolutely no way I would marry her. No way. And I told this guy, I said, it would take a miracle from God for that to happen. Because he mentioned, I said, absolutely not. I mean, I was that emphatic. And there I have my wife now. I wasn't going to own a home. We have a house. I had no idea I would even know a pastor personally. And now I am one. I didn't want to own a house. Now we own a church. I thought, Lord, everything I never wanted, I find fulfillment in. God knows that even though it's radical or countercultural, it's the best thing for us. And that's very important. Many hate work, but the Bible actually lifts it, honors it. Some say work is part of the curse, but they couldn't be more wrong. Work is not part of the curse. It never was. It's the sweat. It's the labor. It's the toil. It's the resistance in work. The weeds that would come up. That was the curse. But the first thing God did when he created man was give him a job. He said, tend the garden. Tend it. Take care of it. He was taking care of the animals. He was tending to things. He was working. And that was before the fall, not after. Work is not the curse. It's the trials that come along with it now. Work is intended to bring satisfaction and fulfillment. Someone who doesn't work is missing something. And they may not know it, but they will. It will come out. They'll feel it. And sometimes we're trying to find value. We're trying to find something that brings significance. And very often it's not. It's that we're not working. Now here's a confusion too. Not working in the world for a paycheck and with a career. I'm not talking about that. Adam didn't get paid. He worked. He ate the fruit of his labor. That was it. Nobody was paying him. No career path. None of that. That's a false idea also. A false concept of we're gratified only if everyone takes note. Well, I think there's something to that. When people take note, that is satisfying, but it's not in the work world. Unless, you know, God has called us to that, God has given us that. It's really doing the work God has given us to do with excellence so that people take note. That doesn't mean you get paid necessarily. It could be ministry. It could be what you do and people go, man, you are so gifted. Man, God is with you. This is great. When you do this, you inspire people. You inspire me. That satisfaction enough. If you've ever experienced that, it's satisfaction enough. No one needs a paycheck for that. And that's what we're looking for. So we don't need promotion. We don't need position. We don't need those things. We don't need them. We really don't. What we need is what God has given us. And we need to do that with all of our heart, with excellence, because that's where we find fulfillment and satisfaction.
As we learn more about the church at Ephesus in Pastor Troy's continuing study, we find that there is much to learn from the trials and struggles these early Christians endured. The guidance provided to them from the Apostle Paul still applies to our lives today. We will learn even more as we dig deeper into this letter. If you'd like to hear more from Building on the Solid Rock, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe on iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. feel free to send us an email through buildingonthesolidrock.com and let us know how we can be praying for you on your continuing journey of faith. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Troy on the next edition of Building on the Solid Rock for more from his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in